You know he isn't going to answer.
I know he won't.
I know.
Hello?
Hey!
What the? Hold on a sec, man. I'm going to hang out the other line.
All right, okay.
Okay, hold on.
He's just going to leave us here for about 15 minutes.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. We're in no hurry.
We're actually on the air?
Yes.
And I put you on the phone. I'm sorry.
We expected from
you. This is the Dirty Station.
It's the dirty girl.
Yeah, it is. I'm the dirty. I am the dirty girl.
Finally, somebody says it. She's the dirty girl.
That's right. And I was like three rows, you know, off the stage when you were playing last time, and two people around me walked out, so I knew you were excellent.
But listen, they brought their 10-year-old kid.
That's not, you know what, whose fault is that? My manager. My God almighty, I tell him every time, you know, because who wants to offend a child? You know?
Oh.
I tell my manager, I say, you know, when you do these, because sometimes I'm clean and sometimes I'm not. I don't know what I'm going to say, right? I don't know what I'm going to do when I go on stage. So I say, just warn them at the thing, and so they know what they're in for, you know?
Well, I mean, what kind of a moron, if they're a fan of Norm Macdonald's enough to come to the show, wouldn't know that, you know, they shouldn't have a 10-year-old kid there?
Well, no, but it's possible that they saw me on some of my lame sitcoms, you know?
Did you think those sitcoms were lame?
Well, I did two sitcoms. The first one I thought was lame, and it just dragged on for way longer than I thought. And the second one I really liked, and they immediately canceled.
See, I love the second one.
Me too.
Sometimes you work really clean, and sometimes you slide something in there that society deems as pernicious, really?
Yeah. I don't have a good memory. And so, and I don't have an act. I keep forgetting jokes, and then I get bored with jokes. And anyway,
well, people don't want to hear jokes; they want to hear stories, right?
Stories, right? Well, so I have like five or six things I think of that week that not like absolutely new things. You know, some of them are new and some of them are old. But I go, I want to talk. Maybe I'll talk about this. So sometimes I'll be anesthetically clean the entire act, and then sometimes I won't. But I don't know till moments before I go on stage, and sometimes not even until I'm up there talking, and then...
When you say anesthetically, you mean it's boring people to sleep, or do you mean antiseptically?
You're absolutely
I don't
right.
Know.
Got me, man, and I'll tell you something. Mm. I'm a wordsmith.
Are you?
The Oxford English Dictionary, I read every day, and you got me there, man.
Well, I wasn't trying to get anybody. I was just curious about what the
dynamic... I like that you got me, because I hate people using words incorrectly.
Now, let me ask you boys something here.
Yeah.
Because we want to think you're a genius, even though you're probably just a regular guy.
I'm a genius.
Are you? Because we were saying stuff like, you know, watch him. I mean, he's such a craftsman that he makes it look so easy, almost like he's forgotten the joke and he's just recalling it right that moment. But you really are just kind of a simpleton that doesn't have a great memory, and you are just recalling it?
No, I'm a genius.
Oh, you are. You're a wordsmith, too.
Now, what I do is I carefully craft the joke.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Super carefully craft the joke. I'm going to tell you my process.
Okay, I want to know it.
I'm a very disciplined writer.
Right.
I superly carefully craft the joke, and then I forget it.
Okay.
So it's there within my head,
yeah,
and I can move around it because I don't like hearing like a you know, you may as well read the joke if there's no
no what?
What is it?
What is it?
Can you remember?
Well, now, I mean, this is not going to be entertaining at all.
No, it's going to be boring as hell if you can't come up with the word.
You were talking about writing, right?
Right.
I'm a great reader. I read a great deal.
Yeah.
I got my writing style in comedy. I stole it from Gertrude Stein.
Stein is an old school writer from way back when.
Yeah.
She's a lesbian.
Yeah, she's a lesbian, yeah.
Yeah.
So Gertrude Stein and Hemingway, they wrote incredibly simply. Like, you can read a Hemingway book and understand every word, and they do a thing where they repeat. They constantly repeat things. They repeat the same line over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And whereas it seems, like, very sloppy, it's actually, there's an intent behind it.
Do they repeat it over and over again and over?
Yeah.
Hey, Norm.
Exactly like I did just now.
Norm, you're playing a town October 15th at the Moore Theater, and you're playing with Nick DiPaolo.
Love Nick DiPaolo.
I do, too. He's
so
hysterical.
Glad he's coming. I didn't know until
somebody said he went into the audience and broke a guy's arm in the last comedy show.
Did.
Did that happen?
You're kidding.
No, in Seattle he did. It was great.
Oh, that's great.
Will you fight with your audience? Do you fight your audience?
No, I'm weak. Brad liked DePaulo, man. DePaulo was the kind of guy when he was younger, you know. He's like super handsome and everything, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is rare for a comic. And he'd go on the road. He'd phone me complaining, but every one of his complaints, he's getting laid, you know. and he always talks like he does on stage, like he just has that same thing. So he's like, "Hey, no, man. Last night I was at the bar and I was talking to this waitress, and she gave me some good advice, you know. She said whenever you get a drink from the bar, make sure to use a straw, you know, because the glasses are often dirty, you know. So you always use a straw." Smash cut to 2 hours later, I got my cup shoved down her throat.
We judge our comedy here in Seattle by how many times the emergency wagon is called, and I think DePaulo, you know, breaking his arms is onto something, so you might have to pump up.
Norm, you don't do the same act. You've got a new whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Does it change every show with you?
Not every show, no, but certainly within a year it'll be all different.
So do you see your friend John Lovitz much?
I haven't seen him much lately. We used to do gigs together, but now he's doing them alone.
His comedy routine was very disturbing.
Just beginning. I don't think you can start at 60.
Well, the problem is that you are, you know, like as you mentioned, a wordsmith and a craftsman and all that, and it's obvious that he's a rook at this. So it's kind of difficult to watch him sometimes, and I love him, but it was tough to watch him.
No, because, man, with stand-up, it takes so long to get your stage legs. You know, the only guy I can think of is Eddie Murphy that was, like, out of the box, like, somehow preternaturally great.
Yeah.
But you have to get used to that insane, odd environment, and it takes you, like, at least 5 years before you even can look anywhere as natural.
And I notice that we've gone way over our time. Is that a repercussion on your end for this in any way, or does it matter to you what you're doing?
Doesn't matter to me.
Okay, and the cats.
What did I say about them? Well, I do have cats.
Yeah, I know you do. You got two of them, right?
Yeah.
You said that you have one that's like some stupid name like Miss Kitty Cat or something.
Princess Kitty McMahon.
Princess Kitty McMahon, and it was named after Ed McMahon?
Yeah. We just end with that obvious reference to me being gay.
Right.